Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's all she wrote.
Yep.
That's all she wrote.
Yep. I kind of forgot about it until you just started the record button.
You didn't think that was going to come back up when we're doing a podcast based on the Buffalo Bills?
You know, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. Like when you were driving over here, what did you think we were going to talk about when the show started?
I like to go empty mind.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Driving over here.
People that listen to the show completely understand that.
I like to go full blank slate. So just let the funny pour out of me.
Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. My name is Pat Duffy. He is Ryan Duffy.
Hello.
We are joining you a week after we should have. That is both of our faults.
Why is it my fault?
Well, life got in the way for me. You had stuff going on too, didn't you?
I guess.
Oh, well, I'm
my
sorry.
Wife was sick, and I, you know. Yeah, okay.
You literally said, my wife is sick. Can we do it another? And I'm like,
No, you did that thing where you always, like, where you won't look at me in the eyes and you just close your eyes and look up in the ceiling and be like, you know, this is a tough week.
Well, okay,
I've got
so.
My 9 shows. I got to do this. You do the show next week.
So here's what happened.
And I said, sure. I'm an opportunist.
No, I mean, we're 2 weeks away, so we're not breaking down the game. It's far too past. Everybody's already
Thank
done
God.
It. We all know what happened.
Thank God.
And in this first segment, I want to get into a requiem for a season.
Ooh.
But, you know, the reason we didn't do this last week is it has been an insane 3 weeks in my life. And it would have been an insane 4 weeks had things gone the right way.
Okay.
Because, all right, so 3 weeks ago, my daughter had a hockey tournament in Oswego.
Congratulations.
So Friday
on giving me the tickets to the AFC divisional round.
Friday to Sunday, I'm there. The next week, my job flew me out to Kansas City, so I was at the game. I was at the AFC championship game, which, despite the outcome, was still an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
I mean, no, it was. Look, it's funny.
Shut up, dummy.
It's funny because, like, I guess the only, all right, if I'm going to talk about one thing about the game,
that he got the first down.
He absolutely got the first down. And all, you want a story? All right, I'll get to it.
No, Pat, I don't want a story.
I'll get to it at the end of this. Watching the game without commentary, and you know this having been to all the games you've been to.
Yep.
It's a completely different experience.
100%
than it is watching it because, like, I was not checking out social media during the game. I was so zoned into that game. You know, sure. it's the biggest game I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
So what I watched was a tale of three games, right? Like, the Chiefs come out, they've got the Bills figured out. I mean, don't forget, the Bills were going to be, they had the potential of being down 21-10 if they don't score that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, the Bills come gangbusters back.
Whee!
They have a one-point lead with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Oh, baby.
I was convinced in that moment they were going to do it. Just I was convinced.
Them. Just hold them, baby.
And then, I mean, you know, the field, they hold them to a field goal. Here we go. Josh got the ball. He got 3 minutes left. He got three timeouts.
This is literally what dreams are made
of. Exactly. And we all saw what happened. But, like, I walked out of that game feeling okay. Like, I mean, it didn't go the way that it went, but like, it was like, okay, look, it was a tale of three games. It was a chess match of a game. And then I get on social media.
That feeling, just real quick, that feeling that you're describing of it, feeling okay, yeah. There's a medical term for it. It's called shock.
Okay. No, I mean, it was, I don't know, man. It is what it is. But like, I got on social media, and then all of a sudden, I'm watching fire McDermott, fire Joe
You'll
Brady.
You'll see that after every game.
But I mean, like, I didn't think that people would be so critical of the game plan just based on what I witnessed with my own eyes with no outside interference. Like, I just thought it was two really good coaching staffs and two really talented teams going back and forth. I mean, there was an ebb and a flow to the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't an ebb and a flow where it was punch, 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 punch. It was 3-1. 3 rounds the other way, yeah. And then it was, you know, you got two rounds to win on the scorecards. The Bills couldn't do it.
Which I will say, too, like, is, again, hindsight, and I can understand what you're saying, like, coming, because I also know what it feels like. You mentioned, like, you're at a game, you don't hear Tony Romo saying, I don't know, Jim, like, it's a completely different experience. I will say, though, I think there's something a little bit more poetic to how you put it, and I think more entertaining to watch a game, where it is 3-1, you know, 3 rounds, like going back and forth. It's not so much a Rams, Chiefs 2019, yeah. You know, middle of the season Monday Night Football game where it's, or AFC divisional a couple years ago with Bills and Chiefs.
Sure.
Like, it's not so like white knuckle all the time, which I think, like, I think a lot of fans have come to expect that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
From teams like these two. But I think it was a lot more fun as far as the game is concerned to see it go back and forth like that. Obviously, I wish it would have gone the other way, but overall, I mean, you can't be too unhappy with the way things played out.
All right, so I was in Oswego. I fly out to Kansas City. I do that. I get home on Monday night after doing the show in Kansas City, the break room.
Real touch on Kansas City real quick. Any good food out there?
Oh, no, I've never. Yeah, of course. It's got great barbecue, great steakhouses. Yeah, it's amazing. Mm. And then I was in Ottawa this past weekend.
Oh.
My daughter had a hockey tournament up
Her
in Ottawa.
Friends up north.
Yeah, that was a good time. And then if the Bills had won that game, I would be literally landing in New Orleans to broadcast live and go to the Super Bowl this Sunday.
Sure.
But it's funny. Like, you want to talk about depressing.
Sure.
I do. You know, you've done the show before. There's a TV show we tape on Wednesday. It's called the Rochester Press Box, excuse me.
Oh, my gosh, on television, too?
Okay, so that makes you a schmuck also?
Of course I've been on the show, and I'll be on it March 5th.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, that's when it tapes. It'll be on that weekend.
Great. I forgot to... My wife had already booked the plane ticket.
You forgot to write your script for the show?
No, and she canceled the plane ticket, obviously, after the Bills lost that game.
Oh, all those points down the drain.
But I forgot to delete the plane itinerary from my phone. So I'm in the middle of doing the show, and we're talking about how depressing it is, and my phone, my Apple Watch goes off, and it's like, board plane in 10 minutes. I'm like,
No!
All right, but real quick, before we move on from the game.
Sure.
Talking about the fourth down.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, NFL, for now looking into putting a chip in the ball, the second rule you're changing again, because the Bills get screwed against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
I hate you so much, Roger Goodell.
So our seats were 50-yard line, front row, upper deck.
No big deal.
It was amazing. I didn't pay for them. It was thank you, work.
Sure.
Greatest job ever. Though it just so happened that we were literally looking right down the line.
I was going to say, yeah, you're down the barrel on that one.
Literally down the line on fourth and one. I am surrounded by Chiefs fans, and I will also say this. I want to hate Chiefs fans in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
They are the nicest people. Like,
that's
had,
good, at least.
I had the most pleasant experience. We were all having such a good old time
in
the game.
That one's in jail now.
Except for that guy. He got out, apparently. No, they were so cool. Like, there were all these, like, 60-year-old moms around me that were, like, hugging me the whole time.
I was going to say, you know when a fan base is cool? When the telecast will cut to, like, an old lady in the crowd who has those two, like, puppets that punch each other and they're opposing teams. And they're just like, right, it's a battle. Yeah.
So it's fourth and one. The play comes off.
Sure.
He got the first down.
Yeah.
And literally all the Chiefs fans around me are like, gah! And I'm like, yeah, all right.
All right.
So then, like, we're all waiting a second because nothing's happening. There's no signal. And then they signal the other way. And they're like, hey! But they're not showing the replay in the stadium.
Sure.
And,
you know, that's suspect right
and
there.
And the entire review, they're not showing the replay in the stadium. Ooh. And everyone around me knows because they're not showing the replay in the stadium, it's going the other way. And after the review, here they come. Ball's going the other way. Not a single person around me. They all looked at me like, whoa. Like, they knew.
Zoinks.
They knew in that moment. And like,
I don't know who had the original point of it, but I saw it on Instagram from, I think it was We The Hobby, but like they said, like, worst pass of Josh Allen's season.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Where he passed it to the line judge coming in from the bottom of the screen. Not the top, yeah. Behind. Yeah, like, oh.
God. Okay, so we are past the game. The 2024 Bills season was a weird one.
Sure.
Because we all know.
Matt Collins was on the team.
We all, by the way, let's re-sign him.
100% down.
We all know what the expectations were outside of Western New York for this team.
Well, I mean, the Jets were going to win the division.
Oh, the Jets were going to win. Miami was coming in second.
Miami was also going to win the division.
Yeah, though, they were both going to, they were going to co-win the division.
Co-divisional winners.
The Bills were going to get lucky to get the final or third wild, second or third wild card spot with, 9 or 10 wins sneak in and then try and find a way to do something.
If that, they're probably going to top off at 7.
So
Diggs and Davis are both gone.
So there's two ways to look at how this all played out.
Mm.
There is the rational way, which is with the expectations and the talent on this roster, the Bills grossly overperformed the way they should have this season.
I think that's pretty rational.
There is no way. No way that this roster, the way it was made up in June, should have gotten to where they got. I mean, let's not forget, there was a 5-horse race for starting safety in training camp.
That's a good point.
I mean, two veterans they signed that they anticipated being the starters did not make it to opening day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you signed Mac Hollins to be your 5th wide receiver, and he was one of your top receivers.
I think outside of Shakir, I think he had like 5 or 8 touchdowns on the season. Is that the most out of a Bills receiver
all
this season?
All he did was catch touchdowns. He may have the receiving lead for touchdowns this year. Man. All he did was catch touchdowns.
That's so cool.
Right?
Are we buying Mac Hollins jerseys?
No, because I've already got my 13 and I bought my Gabe Davis jersey and it went south the second I bought it. I don't want to tempt fate.
Yeah, but that's just like the normal flow of I don't want to ruin it. I would buy a Jordan Phillips jersey at this point.
I would buy a Jordan Phillips jersey. Here's the thing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I really like Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
We know he's weird. I am worried that he is going to do an interview where he says some things.
Everyone who owns a Beasley jersey is like, or yeah. I should say, what, 56% of the people that own a Beasley jersey are like, oh, that was a dumb move.
I really like Mac Hollins. Maybe I'm wrong. But I do not want to tempt fate with, like, you know, like, the earth is flat, you know, there's aliens underneath the water, and then, like, some awful medical take.
Let's give it a couple of years.
Yes, exactly. And then maybe I'll go back and get my Mac Hollins jersey.
It's the thing where it's like you don't want to like give it to, like, you don't go shopping when you're hungry kind of thing. You know, just let it simmer a little bit, you know?
So, I mean, look, based on the roster we had, the Bills should not have been in the position they were with the ball driving 3 minutes left to go to a Super Bowl. But the other way to look at it is you only have the opportunities that the Bills had so many times.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that the roster was not built to get you where it was, you were there.
Yep.
And you had the horses to do it. You had this. You were right there. So the fact that it didn't happen is devastating.
Yep.
And I'm curious where your mind is at right now.
I don't know where my mind is on it.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I don't know where my mind is on it because I feel both of what you're saying at the same time. So it's not so, cut and dry for me. Like, I can feel both at the same time. You know, it's like the grieving process, honestly, where it's like you lose something that's important to you and that makes you sad. But you think about the fun memories and fun times that you had with that person or thing or whatever the case, and that makes you happy. But it's a bounce back here and there and in time, or it goes both ways, I guess, like ping pongs back and forth. And over time, you kind of land on more of the positive look back on it. But I'll tell you, man, I'm a bit haunted by being that close and coming up shy. So much, in fact, I have actually had, I'm not joking about this. I know I speak in hyperbole here and there. I have had three.
Was that a bowl game that I missed during college season?
Hyperbole, dude. It was a joke.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Make it more clear. I don't know with you because you mispronounce so many words trying to sound smart.
Please. I have had 3 dreams.
No, you haven't.
I swear to God. Ask my wife. I've told my wife about this. I've had 3 separate dreams where the Bills have won that game. And then in that dream, I realize, oh my God, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then that like lucid part of your brain kicks in when you're in a dream and you kind of start to realize it, like, wait, this isn't making sense. Oh no. And then at some point I wake up in the last, 2 weeks now, I've had that dream 3 times. It's haunting to think of how close we got. I'm super proud of the fact that we got there and that we were right there. It sucks even more that it was against Kansas City. And then you get every talking head in the world, which at the end of the day, who cares? But you have everyone saying, like, if Josh couldn't get past Mahomes now, he's now the Philip Rivers of this generation of quarterbacks, which is great from a statistical perspective, but never got the big one done. As if he's the only reason. Like, dude, what more could Josh Allen have done? What more could he have done?
Dumped it off to Shakir. No, I mean, look, I do find the Philip Rivers equivalent funny. If he's anything, he's Dan Marino right now. But yeah. What did Philip Rivers get to? A AFC Championship game?
I couldn't even tell you.
AFC Championship Maybe. Game? Look, I'm with you. This one hurts more than the first one because, you know, the Bills weren't over their heads in that first AFC Championship game. Definitely. There was no shot they were going to win that game. Like, this one hurts more. But with the week and a half having been by, I have decided that I'm happy the way the season went, only because of how bright things are. One, Joe Brady looks like he's a legitimate offensive NFL mind.
Yeah, for sure.
He looks like, and you have a year of experience under your belt. You know, have 2 games against the Chiefs, right? You're starting to see trends. You're gonna have to figure that out to beat Spagnuolo, right? Yeah. Like, okay, fine. Yeah. The offensive line is coming back intact next year, and it's arguably the best offensive line in football. I mean, put it up there with the Chiefs, fine, or not the Chiefs, the Eagles, fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, they're back, baby.
Yeah.
James Cook is a legitimate top 5 NFL running back in the league.
Does he have one more year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's not a free agent.
Okay. Okay.
So,
but I'm sure, but I think there's a likelihood that he'll want to be given an extension.
Well, yeah, but that's a whole other debate that we'll be having at this time next year as the Bills are good. No, so it'll be after this week after the Bills win the Super Bowl. So, like, you have so many positives here. And, I mean, with the moves the Bills can make, you're going to have money to go out and get one or two major pieces to make it work.
Which is so, like, again, like, I feel like that whole soliloquy you just went on, that makes me feel even better about the, like, that pings me back to the positive side of this whole thing of, like, this was the rebuilding year. This was the year where we had to get cap situation garbage under control, get rid of those larger contracts, yada, blah, of garbage.
Yeah.
Now the fact that, like, we have a little bit of wiggle room to, like, maybe make some of those, you heard McDermott and McBeanbag going, we need difference makers, 3 or 4 difference makers. You got to go get those big splash guys. Well, go get them. Now you got your time. Now you got your ability to go do it. Go make a move.
All right. So I think what is making me feel the best right now, and here's the thing. Now that I've had a week to process, week and a half to process what happened. There were so many fun moments from this season.
Let's list them off chronologically.
No, I mean, like, it was so much fun. And as we tape this, they're doing the NFL honors tomorrow. So maybe Josh wins the MVP, maybe not. Who the hell knows, right? But I mean, if he does that, that'll be one great memory we're going to remember forever. But there were so many great games and moments throughout the season that's going to be able to carry me past the fact that, you know, they came up short in the AFC Championship game. But the thing that makes me feel the best as a Bills fan right now, there are 2 ways to build an NFL team. There is catching lightning in a bottle and pouncing, and there is building success for the long term. And I'm going to use 2 examples. You have the way the Pittsburgh Steelers have done it, and let's go back to the Roethlisberger
years. Never had a losing season in Mike Tomlin's career.
Let's go back to the Roethlisberger years with Cowher and then into Mike Tomlin.
You could be mediocre, so you could be slightly above average for 20 years.
But, like, they were a team that was always lying in the weeds because they were really good at roster construction.
Yeah.
And every couple of years, they would pop and they would make an appearance in the Super Bowl, and they got a couple of Super Bowl rings out of it, right? You can build your team that way and hope that it works out. Or you can do something like the Tennessee Titans did, where all of a sudden your roster is good, you realize it, and you do everything you can to make it work in that moment. And you have a 3-year window, and if it doesn't happen, the team is a disaster, which we're watching happen now. I mean, people forget how dominant that Titans team was until they got to the playoffs with Tannehill and Derrick Henry and, you know, all the receivers they had out there.
Yeah.
The ability that Bean has shown to sustain the high level of play and give you as many chances as you can get makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the difference of putting $100 in a slot machine and pulling it once
Well, you're going to win 100% of the time because you put $100 in.
Parceling it out a dollar at a time.
That's not how it works.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
Slowly bleed your money 5 cent pulls at a time.
But look, man, I mean, you got more shots. You got more shots.
I'm with you.
So, I mean, it's not out of the question. I mean, I'm knocking on wood here, but NFL quarterbacks play 15 years now, right? I mean, it's not out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
The window is always open with Josh quarterback. He is the window.
Josh Allen is the window.
Yes, exactly. So, with the talent you have there and the way that Bean is constructing this roster for the long haul, it gives me confidence.
Mm.
Is that fair?
I think that's completely fair.
Okay.
I think you make a valid point. I wish we were in the Super Bowl.
Well, right now. Obviously, I also wish
it sounds like you don't wish that. It sounds like you want to have like an 85% completion happiness rating for 15 years.
No, but what I'm getting at is the way that they've built this roster with, you know, enough pieces to make you a legitimate contender every year.
Yeah.
In a rebuilding year, like you said, you had the ball with 3 minutes left, down three on the road to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I also think, too, like, I wonder, I mean, it has to play some kind of factor. I don't know how you can quantify it. But I think, like, the fact that everyone did kind of write off the Bills played in their favor, like, for the team specifically.
Sure.
You know, like, granted, they still got to the divisional round the year that they were the Super Bowl favorites.
The Bills you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like, you can argue that's a successful season, too. But I don't know. I think, like, I don't necessarily want them to be on everyone's radar. I don't think it's going to be possible to not be if you make it to the AFC Championship game in an off year.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, I think that the Bills weren't on everybody's radar was kind of something we were telling to hype ourselves up in Western New York. Like, even with the way the roster was going and the way the people were picking the Jets and the Dolphins, I mean, people know the Bills are a wagon. They're aware that the Bills are a problem. They're aware that Josh Allen is a quarterback.
Going into the season, I don't think that, man. I think after maybe week five, people started to kind of open their eyes. And at the very least, from like, okay, the Jets and the Dolphins aren't as good as we all hoped they were going to be. And then obviously by like week 9-10, it's like, okay, this thing's gone because the Bills just won the division.
I will say this. I have no interest in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Me neither.
Zero.
I'm not even remotely interested. I think James Cook put it perfectly in that interview. Did you see that?
What was his quote?
He said, I think to some degree, F them both. Yeah. Like, if I'm not in it, I don't care. Which, like, thanks for speaking for everyone in Western New York, James.
Well, but everyone in the world. Because here's the thing. I was worried because, you know, I love football.
Sure.
And I normally love watching the Super Bowl. And like, as it gets closer, the last week and a half, I've been like, I don't care. And I thought that I was just being, I'm sorry, I'm very burpy tonight.
Terrible.
I thought that I was just being a bitter Bills fan. And I don't want to be a bitter Bills fan.
No one wants to be a bitter Bills fan.
But
don't be a bitter Bills fan.
There were two things I saw this week that made me feel better. One, nationally, this is the least anticipated Super Bowl of the last 25 years.
Color me surprised.
Okay, so we got that going.
This is my shocked face.
We just saw it.
My shocked face?
No, this Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, we did.
But what's more amazing, so I just told you I was supposed to be on a plane. I'd be landing in New Orleans right now.
Talk about Fat Tuesday.
It's Wednesday.
Damn it.
And you're fat. if you talk about
Fat Wednesday.
If you were going,
I'm going to just wait at the airport and just watch people get off planes and just say more like fat whatever day it is. More like Fat Sunday.
Shut up.
How mean.
Yeah, no kidding. So the way it was going to work was Kimmy and I from the break room, we were going to go down and we were going to broadcast live remote back.
That's cool. What's the break room?
And she was going to, that's what people keep asking since you've been on the show.
Well, I'm not on it anymore and I'm starting a GoFundMe.
And ratings have skyrocketed.
Change.org.
And she was going to go with her husband and just watch the game in a bar. She just wanted to be there for the experience. I was going to buy one ticket.
Mm.
And I've been saving for this since I was 16 years old. I've been putting like $10 in a shoebox forever.
You've been putting $10 in a shoebox every week since you were 16 years old. And then for the longest time, you made me pay your phone bill because you said, I didn't realize it was charging your card when you just magically had a phone for a year and a half.
I really didn't realize it was charging your card. I thought it was charging my card.
Oh my God. You can't. What? When we each pulled in.
And you can't pay a phone bill with a shoebox full of tens.
No joke. Like a year and a half of me paying $30 every 2 weeks for your phone bill.
You were living in my house!
I paid rent!
Yeah, barely. I was subsidized.
Oh my God.
Fat Tuesday subsidization. The reason I bring this up.
More like Fed financial neglect.
The reason, and health neglect. The reason I bring this up is Friday night, before I got on the plane to go to Kansas City, mm-hmm. I'm looking at Super Bowl tickets on the secondary market.
Sure.
And they were $7,000.
Oh, I was going to say like $55,000.
$7,000.
Oh, no.
So my thought was this. I knew that if the Bills made it.
Remember when Dad had brain damage and he thought the Super Bowl tickets 50 yard over $50 a piece?
How are we going to back up and explain that? I'm not. We're blowing past it.
Those who, if you know, you know.
Our dad had a heart attack. It died really quickly. He was in a coma, but now he's okay, but he had brain damage for a little while. We're still not sure if the brain damage stuck. Okay, so.
I'm looking, wow, that was, I mean, and time.
Thank you. I'm looking at the tickets for $7,000, and I'm well aware that if the Bills go, they're going to skyrocket, right? So if I buy this ticket right now and the Bills win on Sunday in the AFC Championship game, I'm going to save $2,000-$3,000.
Sure.
And if the Commanders went, if they win, no matter who they're playing, that ticket was also going to go up because Commanders fans haven't been in the Super Bowl in what? Since they won against Bills?
Since, yeah, they beat okay. the Bills.
So I look at my wife, and I go, here's the
situation.
Here's the situation. I go, if I buy this, I'm either going and saving money, or I can resell it if the Commanders go. I go, the only way we get hurt, potentially, on a resale, is if it's a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl.
And what are the odds of that happening? Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
And my wife says to me, you do whatever you think is the right way thing to do.
That's a good partner right there.
So I'm sitting, and
as she grits her teeth in the corner, like, why did I make this decision to marry this man?
I get to the checkout page, and I've got my credit card in my hand.
Stupid faulty condoms.
Dear God! Oh, my God. So I get to the checkout page. I've got my card in my hand, and I'm about to click buy, and I waited.
Smart,
I'm
not gonna smart move.
Yeah, it's a very smart move. You know why? Do you see what tickets are going for now?
No.
$3,500.
Really?
I would have lost like $3,000 to $4,000 on the deal.
Yikes.
They're under face value.
That'll make you go belly up real quick.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of Fat Tuesday. No, like I they're selling for under face value. That's how non-excited football fans are about this game. That's how spoiled Chiefs fans are.
Yeah.
That you can right now get a ticket to the Super Bowl for under face value.
Yeah.
Do not want to know what horrible things my wife would have screamed at me had, in my hubris and excitement for a potential Bills Super Bowl, had I lost a family $4,000.
You know what it's going to be, though? I want to watch it now just for the people watching, because it's going to be a whole, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be half.
A whole bunch of dads? Rolling, right?
It's going to be 50% Chiefs fans who, like, we're like, this is our time. We can finally go. There's an inexpensive, relatively
$3,500 cheap a seat, inexpensive
for a Super Bowl, and we could watch the Chiefs win their third Super Bowl in a row, first team to ever do it. And then the other 50% is going to be Silver Linings Playbooks guys that have, like, been saving up this entire time, their entire lives working at the bar. Mark Wahlberg from Invincible, Vince Papale, showing up in New Orleans, ready to start some serious fights no matter how the game turns out.
I will say my wife is not a big football fan, but she did make a very astute observation. It's a really good thing with the Super Bowl being in New Orleans that the Bills did not go from a health standpoint.
Why is that?
Bills that, fans that
French quarters food
bro Bills fans Super Bowl weekend.
Ooh.
In New Orleans, oh my God, we would have lost multiple Bills fans. We would have lost multiple Bills. We would have had
plus
to,
all the voodoo, you know.
We would have had to build a memorial to the fans we lost that Super Bowl week in the new stadium.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Bills Mafia.
Me, Elton John showing up.
It seems to me
the third revision to Candle in the Wind. Candle in the Pit.
Yes. All right, so as we've decided that it was a good season, not a sad season, we look forward to next season. And I'll be honest with you, man, I haven't looked at any draft stuff, so we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But there's been talk all week long that was kicked off by an announcement. One game-changing player, as you put it, is on the market. But there's an opportunity for the Bills to go shopping in three different stores.
Ooh. We're going to the outlet mall.
Well, if you're going to go to any of them, because again, this is tough, man. This is really tough.
Okay,
risk,
Jim.
Reward, Capital R risk, capital R reward.
Do they take expired coupons?
We'll get into it next. Let's go to Duffalo, the Odyssey app. We beat your podcast. According to some Bills fans. I don't know, man.
Let's get real jacked up and then temper your expectations.
Well, I mean, but that's kind of where we're at. That's what the offseason is, right? Because you have, like, announcements like this. Players say stuff like, oh, it's going to happen. And then you're just quiet for, like, a month.
You know what? If Von Miller says anything, just don't believe him.
Yeah, bro, if Von Miller says something, it's not going to happen. Right. The opposite will happen.
I'm signing a five-year extension with the Buffalo Bills.
And he died in a house fire. It's Let's Go Duffalo, the Odyssey app. I know it got dark real fast. Wherever you get your podcast, in just a little while, we're going to find out what's making Ryan sad. Mm-hmm. And you know, you brought up something earlier texting me today that I'd never thought of.
What's that?
And maybe that's a healthier way to be, because, like,
you exercise?
Know, no, because I know you're the one that's never thought of that.
Please, I have an Apple Watch, tracks my fitness movement. I don't know. There's rings. Something happened.
Well, if you're working on fitness, I'll bet you try fitting into that sweatshirt
on your body.
We'll get into Ryan's idea in just a little while here. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app. So the big news this week for Bills fans, outside of whether or not Josh is named MVP, was an announcement made by one of, if not the best defensive players in the NFL.
Arguably all time and reigning defensive player of the year.
He's not the best defensive player of all time.
You're, top five.
No, of all time?
All time.
Are you an idiot?
Maybe when all's said and done, if he continues to play the way that he does. But no, sorry, go on. No. Okay, fine.
How dare you?
Some people said it, not me. No, nobody's some would argue.
Nobody's called him a top five defensive player of all time.
His mom did.
Okay. Myles Garrett, Browns defensive end, has requested a trade.
Oh, no.
He wants out of Cleveland. He doesn't want to be part of another rebuild. You understand why.
Sure.
So he is a hell of an athletic specimen. He is the only player in NFL history to have over 14 sacks four consecutive years, a former first overall pick. As you said, he was Defensive Player of the Year last year. As we tape this, he is nominated for Defensive Player of the Year again this year. Ooh. The man is a force, and you have to be aware of where he is at all times as an offensive coordinator. Bills fans want him bad.
Yeah, bring him on.
Want him bad.
High motor guy.
Yes. Yes. So it kind of works out for the Bills if they can pull this off. Sure. Because there's a very strong possibility that Von Miller is not on this roster next year. Mm-hmm. So it opens up a spot. Even if he is, Von Miller at now, at best, is a rotational piece.
Yeah.
Right? So Myles Garrett is your guy. But it's the cost to get Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's estimated the beginning starting price will be two first-round picks.
Ugh. And there's only one first round in every draft.
So the Bills would not have a first. If they were to do this, they would not have a first-round pick for the next two seasons.
Yeah.
You are going to redo Josh's deal, which means you are going to have the highest paid player in the NFL for a little while on your roster. You have James Cook you have to think about, mm-hmm. Christian Benford you have to think about.
Groot.
Khalil Shakir's coming up soon. All of those things. And you probably have to extend Garrett if you're going to get him to be happy coming to Buffalo. Ryan.
Patrick.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he's a player on the Browns, right?
You know what I meant.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned it before.
I need a yes or no. I need a yes or no.
Yes.
Yeah, now? Right now. Do it.
Do it.
Why?
Because I think, like, if you look at what has, I don't want to say plagued the Bills. Well, let me put it this way. When the Bills are the most successful, you've seen it at flashes this year especially, but also throughout the rest of the recent seasons, they are doing their best when they have a solid defensive pass rush.
Well, yeah, that's every NFL team.
Of course.
That's why you pay defensive ends the second highest salaries in the league.
No kidding. So now with, like, that was their intention when they signed Von Miller.
Who was on pace for 17 sacks before he ripped his knee up in Detroit.
Right. So, there's precedent for you doing it again. Granted, you signed him as a free agent.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think, like, if how often do these chances come up? Now, I think the problem is there's going to be a lot of other teams that, even if the...
Put a pin in that because we'll get down the road there. Okay. We'll get down the road with having a bid against other things.
But I think, like, I think there's... Wait, put a pin in what? Because I was going to go two different ways.
The whole bidding against other teams, because there was a proposed trade that I want to talk about.
Okay, but what I was going to say is, and I know this is all, like, whatever, because this often goes the other way than what the host team says.
What you just said did not make any sense. Okay, I know this is all whatever, but the host team often goes the other way.
It made sense in my head. Shut up. I'm saying like the, so Myles Garrett requests a trade, yes, right? Through that notes app post. And then the Browns say, we're not going to trade him. We're not entertaining offers. That's what I was going to say. Like the team says they're not going to do it. They very well could not do it.
They're going to do
it. Of course they're going to do it.
But they're doing that stupid, like, this is how bad the GM in Cleveland is. If we say we're not going to do it, then we're
going to
do it. No, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Precedent was a word you just used.
Yeah.
You used precedent. You know, when Von Miller came in here and there was precedent that the team was playing, you know, the best they've played. Okay.
That was after the 13 seconds season, right?
And that's why they went and got a finish.
Right.
Precedent would also be you don't sign an aging defensive end because his body will break down and you will be left holding the cash bag.
How old's Miles?
29. Yeah. I mean, look, it's not
Von
as old.
Von Miller's 68.
It's not as old as Von Miller was, but I mean, it ain't young. It ain't young, and he's got a lot of miles on that body. Literally, his name is Myles Garrett. If your argument is precedent says they play best with a defensive end, my argument is precedent says when they will go out and do a lot to get a veteran defensive end, bad things happen.
I will say, too, if Myles Garrett plays on a team that has to play overseas for the Internationals game, I'm pretty sure he should change his name to Kilometers Garrett. Oh, the metric system.
No, that was the most clunky. Shut up.
That was not clunky. That was funny. Kilometers Garrett.
No, you had to. You're the only one laughing. You're the only person laughing right now. You're the only person laughing. What is wrong with you?
I just think it's really funny. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Nothing's going for me right now.
I don't think I want this.
Really?
Yes.
Just because you want to disagree with me?
No, because, look, man, I was the one earlier in the season, when we gave up a third-round pick to Cleveland, by the way,
yeah,
for Amari Cooper, that said, I don't think I like this. And you yelled at me. You shouted me down.
Did you see him pass the ball to Josh for running to score a touchdown? Come on. Okay.
I mean, was Amari Cooper's season a success in Buffalo?
No.
I mean, it looked like it unlocked the offense, but you didn't get the numbers you needed from him. He wasn't that true number one wide receiver you paid for.
I wonder if it was, it's more about the intangible. It's about the friends we made along the way.
No, I mean, look, it's
the
possible.
Amari Cooper trade.
Here's the thing. I mean, the way it worked out, I wouldn't look at that trade this season and go, it was a disaster, because sure, the offense definitely was better with him on the field, but you did not get what you thought you were going to get.
Yeah, you didn't get, he did have that touchdown in his debut game.
Yeah.
And everyone got to yell, cool.
They did, but then they ended up beating him. What? They ended up running away with that game, so it wasn't even a necessary touchdown.
Yeah.
We took the risk with Vaughn. It blew up on our faces.
Did it, though? Like
it didn't? What, you, did you? I don't see a Super Bowl ring anywhere.
Okay, fair enough.
Because that's what this Myles Garrett trade would be. This is not, if you make the Myles Garrett trade, or make the Myles Garrett trade, and you make it back to the AFC Championship game and lose, the Myles Garrett trade was a failure. You are only making this trade to win a Super Bowl. Am I wrong? Because you just said it yourself.
There's more than that, though. And you know it.
No, I look.
If all things were equal, and you had Myles Garrett on the team, I think the Bills would have fared better in both the divisional and the AFC championship.
Yeah, but he's got to be healthy. He has to fit into the defense.
Right, that's
fine.
What I'm saying. There's other variables that come into play here.
So there you go. And you'll have him. But what happens 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when you have no first-round pick developing in your system?
I think the GM of the Rams put it best, where he said, F those picks.
Yeah, F those picks. How'd that go for them?
They won a Super Bowl.
They won a Super Bowl.
And they won their division this year. Yeah, they bounced back. They had a bad season when the Bills just boat raced them.
The Gate Stallions were in that division. It's the worst division in football.
Wow, way to drop your old Pop Warner team into the podcast that you host. Co-host.
P-Squad co-champions, 1995. But go on, you were saying.
You were too fat for A-Squad.
This is true. C-Squad. A-Squad was the oldest. True story. God, how did they get away with that?
What do you mean?
I guess they didn't really have body image thing, thinking about that back in the day. So if you ever played Vince Lombardi or Pop Warner football, little guy football, there was a weight limit to how heavy you could be as a player.
Sure. Usually that's how it goes.
No, that's not a standard thing in any other sport.
Wrestling.
Okay, you're right. But the belief was, no, you just go up a division. The belief was,
you can't play.
Yeah, that was it. Like, the belief was, if a kid was too heavy, he was going to hurt another kid. So my age group was C-Squad. It was my first year playing little guy football. There was no way I was making that weight. There was no way I was going to make it. I was like,
Pat's got to cut weight as an 8-year-old.
Well, I was 30 pounds heavier than like what the minimum weight was. So
more like Fat Saturday.
So they bring me up to the B squad. So I'm playing with kids that are like 3 years older than me, and I never played organized football
before. That's right. I'm a freshman playing varsity, baby.
But here's the thing. Not only, I was still right on the line of being too fat to play above my age.
Hey, 13-year-olds, I got this 9-year-old who's
really
packing him in.
It's exactly what happened. So every week, God, this is so horrifying. They would weigh you every week. Before the game, you had to make weight before every game.
Sure.
So like an hour before the game.
You also had to give them a little spin.
An hour before the game, they would walk you into like, you know, a shed near like the football field. And you would stand on the thing. And I would have to like derobe down to like my cup because any extra weight was going to be a problem. And every week I was like half a pound away from not being able to play. And I was always able to play. It all worked out and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But like, the trauma of being like 8 or 9 years old, almost naked, with like some 50-year-old dude with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and then having to play
at Lions Memorial Park.
Yes, that's exactly. It was a horrifying. It was a horrifying moment. Okay, going back to
it. Real quick, just Gate Stallions again, real quick. I remember you're at, because I never played Gate Stallions. My only football.
Yeah, there was no way you were making that weight.
The only first football I played was modified middle school.
Ryan was so heavy, him coming to the game meant I couldn't make weight.
The Earth's gravitational pull was off. No, so I remember being with mom and she dropped you off at your like, you know, end of season party, whatever it was. You know what? It was on Marway behind, you know, those
it was
familiar
in like
with
a factory.
Right. Like literally a giant like freight door like was opened up. Yep. And there was just a random table. I saw this from the car. And one of the coaches comes in with a sheet pizza and like throws it onto a table. And I swear to God, dude, like rats or cockroaches, whatever it was. You just see 40 kids just scurry right toward this pizza. And I feel like I saw pieces flying. It was in like the scene in Starship Troopers when the guy goes over the
Starship
wall.
Starship Troopers?
Yeah. Paul Verhoeven.
Nobody saw that.
Everyone saw Starship Troopers. It's actually a really good satire. What?
Going back to the discussion. There are three guys on the block right now that could improve this team potentially on other teams.
Okay.
So Myles Garrett is the big prize.
Sure.
Wide receiver Cooper Kupp out in Los Angeles.
Ooh, Cooper Kupp.
According to him, he has been told by the Rams they are going to trade his contract.
Can I just say real quick?
Sure.
The juxtaposition between Cooper Kupp's situation and Myles Garrett's situation. If you look at Myles Garrett's notes app post, it said on there, I think I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure I'm close to the quote, where he said, I never pictured my journey to go from Cleveland to Canton. Meaning, and I interpret that as, I didn't think I was here going to be in Cleveland my entire
career. Oh, I thought it was the other way. I thought it was I pictured I would go from Cleveland.
Oh, I read it as I never pictured.
I could be wrong.
I could be wrong, too. So if that's the case, I apologize. But juxtapose that against Cooper Kupp, where he literally said, I thought this whole thing was going to end in L.A., but apparently they want to trade me. Like, it just seems so like you know, tale of two cities.
Sure.
All L.A. right. and Cleveland.
Could you real quick look up how old Cooper Kupp is? Because Cooper Kupp's been dealing with injury, although, I mean, in that game against Buffalo, and again, because it's a West Coast team, I don't get to see a lot of Cooper Kupp. He looked like he was still playing pretty well, and he was coming back from injury in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Stop saying Cooper Kupp, 31 years old.
30, okay, what are you, nuts? What Bills fan? I've been hearing Bills fans yell to trade for him. You want to trade for a 31-year-old wide receiver?
Get out.
A 31-year-old possession wide receiver? Are you crazy?
Right, look, dude, there's, come on.
What is wrong with you?
Look at Adam Thielen.
Oh my God.
Adam Thielen, I think, is the best, like, comparison, the best comp.
You know what you did.
What?
No, there are other comps. But you went with Adam Thielen. Why'd you go with Adam Thielen?
Oh, yeah, that's actually messed
Why'd
up.
You go with Adam
no,
Thielen?
Because
he's a lot like Wes Welker or Julian Edelman or Vince Papale or Don Beebe.
Vince Papale played defense.
I know, but he's still like him for some reason.
No, I think like at least recently
or Rutherford
speaking.
B. Hayes. Don't. I was going to say, don't die, but go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Anymore. Way to go.
Oh, man.
Way to go, buddy.
No, I think, like, recent, because you look at, like, someone like Adam Thielen, who was, like, a standout in Minnesota.
Sure.
And then, was it, he had to have signed as a free agent. I don't think he
Yeah, he signed
traded.
With Carolina as a free agent.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's a little different there. But my point is, like, I mean, you can make the same argument with Amari Cooper. Like, granted, the sample size for Amari Cooper is not as big as it is with Thielen now in Carolina. But the point is, there is a major significant drop off. We've talked about this before, from whether it's 29 to 30 or just 29 to 31 for wide receivers. You look at Stephon Diggs, like same situation there. The body can only go as hard as it can.
But the same argument can be made for defensive ends. We've seen it happen 1,000 times, right? And like with Cooper Kupp, I mean, I don't want him. I don't care what the price is, right? But, like, you know, you'd give up a fourth or a fifth round pick for a Cooper Kupp, whereas you got to give up minimum 2 ones for Myles Garrett. So Joe Biscaglia for The Athletic writes an article this week about what he believes it would take, or his proposal for a trade. Did you see what that trade proposal was?
No.
The Bills would offer, in exchange for Myles Garrett and their third round pick back. You ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Bills would get Myles Garrett and the third round pick that they sent for Amari Cooper in exchange for a first round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, a second-round pick next year, ooh, Kyir Elam, A.J. Epinesa.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, okay, that's...
And a sixth-round pick.
Wow.
He believes that's what it would take to get it done.
So a one this year.
2 ones, a two next year.
Yeah, so a one this year.
Yep.
A one and a two next year.
Kyir Elam, because the Browns play more of a man defense, and they believe Elam's a better man defender. Mm-hmm. You got 1 year control of him. Yeah. Epinesa, who is a legitimate NFL defensive end.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And a six or something like that.
Interesting.
And you get the three in Myles Garrett. Would you do that? Because you're not going to need Epinesa if you bring in.
I'm not so much worried about the player. Especially not the players.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kyir. Kind of played your way right off this roster.
Best of luck to you wherever it is you land. The 2 ones in subsequent years is a bit scary to me.
If they let you have one, if they went one in 2025 and a one in 2027, would you do the deal then?
I think I would. Mainly because, like, you know, I think the Bills have arguably had better success in some of the later rounds than they have in the first overall.
But that's a stupid take, but go on.
I think, like...
Why don't you trade your first round pick for fourth or third round picks? You'd be like the greatest team of all time. Hey, Shut up, stupid.
Hey, it could work.
It's a stupid
If take. You have a good scouting department.
You don't remember the ones you miss in the fourth round. You only remember the ones you hit.
Shut up. Shut up, you.
All right, and then the third person who has been bantered about, mm-hmm, as a new Bill would be Raiders defensive end Max Crosby. And the reason he came up, he was doing an interview earlier this week, and he was asked the one player he would want to play with in the NFL if he could choose anybody. He chose Josh Allen.
This is what
Max Crosby said out loud.
Boy.
So Max Crosby, they were going to. There was word that he was on the block for the last two seasons. He has said he wanted to stay in Vegas, but he has been dealing with just head coach after head coach. They're changing defenses on the guy, yet he still works. He's 27. He's not Myles Garrett. He's younger.
High motor guy.
Stop saying high motor guy.
He's a high motor guy. And I just want to actually just really quick.
Yeah, he's a defensive end, though, like Jared Allen or what? What'd I say?
Bill Romanowski.
Phil Hansen. You know, he reminds me a heck of a lot like guys like that. I just want TJ Watt, JJ Watt. You know, guy, I don't, there's something about him.
Not so
him,
much Derek.
Something about him.
So I just want to tie back off on how we weren't sure what Myles Garrett had said.
Tie back off on it.
Yeah. You have a corporate job.
That's not a thing.
We're tie off and back on the thing. We're going to circle around, dance on a pin of a needle. It said, quote, while I love
living. Okay, I just want to stop you. We had clearly moved on from that.
But I wanted to make sure I was
did
right.
Not matter. Yeah, we have now talked about Max Crosby. I'm in the middle of talking about Max Crosby. You cut me off to go read a quote.
While I've loved calling this city my home, desire to win and compete in the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton, and has always been to compete and win for a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And layman's terms means, y'all suck. I ain't going to play here. I'm going to go try to find a team where I can get a ring. Peace, we out of here.
Glad we figured that out. Doesn't matter.
I didn't want to be right, putting out bad information.
Crosby is 27.
Okay.
He will be 28 when the season starts.
Okay.
Myles Garrett will be 29 when the season starts. So, mm-hmm, I mean, the age is, it's one season. Would you do the deal I just gave to you for Myles Garrett? You got to pick one. The Garrett deal or Crosby for Epinesa, Elam, 1-3.
One and a three?
One and a three, Elam, Epinesa, Myles Garrett, 1-1-2, Epinesa, Elam.
Too many numbers going on here. Go again. Say it again.
Oh, my God.
No, say it again. I'm confused.
Garrett, ready?
Yeah, Garrett, got it.
1-1.
Yep.
2.
Yep.
Elam, Epinesa.
Okay, got it.
Crosby.
Yep.
1-3, Elam Epinesa.
100% I'm going Crosby.
Really?
Give up a third round pick?
You don't think Garrett's worth more?
Oh, I do think Garrett
so
is worth
more. Wait. You just told me that you need the closer and the guy that's going to finish. You just said that Miles Garrett was the top five NFL player of all time.
That's a good point.
And you just moved off it.
No, that's a good point.
Over scared, two rounds.
Scared money don't make money. I think if the... Okay, of course. So I take back what I said and thinking a little bit
more. You're the worst GM of all time.
Well, no.
You want to do a trade?
No takesies, taxis. Call him up, and there's 31 other guys on there. They all know me. We're all cool. We hang out in the off season. No, I think if Garrett's available, I think you gotta, you know, do what you can. You just can't sell the farm.
No,
you
but
know?
You're selling the farm. You're selling the farm.
Not really. With one first round pick. I mean, we did the same thing with Diggs, and that worked out gangbusters.
Really? Where's my Super Bowl ring?
Okay, and not everything is in terms of a Super Bowl.
Listen to me. If you make the trade for Myles Garrett and you do not win a Super Bowl, it is a failure. That is the only reason you're doing it.
You say that. I'm not saying
no, that. No, that is why you go do it. That is what they said at the AFC.
You do it to give yourself a chance to win a Super
you
Bowl.
You said it yourself. When asked why this team was not getting over the hump, both McDermott and Bean said they need those game-breaking players. You don't say that if it doesn't mean you get those game-breaking players to win a Super Bowl. I will say it again, and I want you to listen.
Let's go ahead.
If you make this deal for Myles Garrett and you don't win a Super Bowl, the deal is a failure. So I'll ask you one more time.
Oh, boy.
Crosby, 1-3, Elam Epinesa. Garrett, 1-1-2, Elam Epinesa. What deal do you do?
I'm still going Garrett.
God, you're an idiot.
No, I'm not. I'm not an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot, not me.
Wait, no, you just said you were going to go Crosby. Now you said I'm still going Garrett?
No, because I think that Myles Garrett is a better proven player than someone like Max Crosby. Yes, he's older. How many defensive player of the years does Max Crosby have?
How many MVPs does Josh Allen have? Does that make him less of a player than Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
From a statistical perspective...
That award is not a statistic. So you are saying...
I'm saying
Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are better players.
Completely different
context.
That's
kind of what you just said.
Completely different context. Lamar's, this is a straw man argument.
No, it's not.
Or you're comparing...
You are, I'm looking at you, Fat Tuesday. You're definitely not a straw man.
Man. See, this is...
The only straw that man you are is a straw that goes into a milkshake. With all of the ice cream.
Real nice.
And then lard.
I am the godfather of your children.
Yep. Who loves Godfather pizza.
From the gas station?
See?
You can take the kid out of the gates. You can't take the gates out of the kid.
You were saying, I'm sorry.
I don't even know anymore. I think like I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. I think like that is not a fair comparison. I'm talking about from a perspective on a defensive end, right? Same player. There are less categories, I think, metrically speaking, that can be judged. Like you can use as like a comparison between the two. I think Myles Garrett has been a more effective player.
Uh-huh.
And I would want someone to be that game breaker. I think both of them could be very good on the team. But if you have the opportunity to go get someone like Myles Garrett, all things equal, you got to go with Myles Garrett.
But it's not all things equal. That's the point of the exercise.
Oh my gosh. Is there any such thing as a right answer to you?
No. Well, I just need you to be definitive. No. I need you to be definitive. Because again, if all things were equal, we'd be trading the same amount. That makes it an easy exercise. All things are not equal.
Thanks, math class.
You can't just say buzzwords and then be like, what?
The limit does not exist.
What?
Stupid. I'm done listening to this show.
We're going to find out what's making Ryan sad.
Oh, spoiler alert. It's
okay.
You.
Okay, great. And Ryan, do you do this every year at the end of the season when the season's done?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
Maybe it's a healthier way to be. I'll tell you Ryan's plan next. Let's go tough, low, the Odyssey Airway Reach podcast. It's an interesting concept. I mean, I guess it's healthier.
Sure.
But I've never done this.
I'm all about health.
And I don't know how you would do this because, I mean, the NFL is legitimately a year-round business. As soon as the Super Bowl is over, we kick into free agency.
Well, even with 24-hour cycles, 24-365, you got to sometimes take a little bit of a break and a little bit of your own routine to kind of put things right in the world.
So let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, your podcast. We'll get to that in just a second. But before we do, it's that time. Guess what it's going to be? What's making Ryan's head?
guess what it's going to be. What you get? Do you take bets on this?
Yeah, we didn't make the Super Bowl.
No, that's not it.
What is it?
I mean, I'm bummed. I wouldn't say sad.
What is it?
Well, you know, it was a topsy-turvy kind of season. All kinds of signings and ebbs and flows and roller coaster. Whee! But I think the one thing that, you know, we talked about it at length when it happened and even the speculation leading up to it, but our good friend, Micah Hyde, friend of the pod, joins the team. Only in a practice role, if you ask Isaiah McKenzie. But Micah Hyde comes back. Now let's take one more run at it. Let's get Micah a ring after everything he's done for this franchise. And obviously, it didn't work out. Okay. Well, what's making me sad, it's not that it didn't work out, but that now that door is definitively closed for Micah Hyde.
He's been playing for 12 years.
After Micah Hyde announced his retirement 45 seconds after the game.
Yeah, I mean, is that the least surprising? That's the least surprising news ever.
It's not that it's not surprising. And I guess maybe it's a complex series of emotions in that, yeah, we didn't get it done for him. He didn't practice hard enough to get us ready to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But just the fact that, like, okay, yes, he wasn't on the team until the end of the season. Yes, Jordan Poyer had moved on. Yes, you know, Tre'Davious White had to go home at the end of the divisional round after we beat him in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But now it just feels like a true turning of the page.
You know, the whole Micah Hyde thing is interesting because now there's speculation from someone who I know that is close to the team.
Micah himself, friend of the pod.
Take all of this with a grain of salt.
Sure.
The reason I was so convinced that the Bills were going to dress him for the playoffs was because of what happened last year, where you had those rash of defensive injuries that led to A.J. Klein going from the couch to your starting linebacker. He's
loading up the RV, ready to go on a family vacation.
Exactly. So
going to Wally World.
I thought this was a very shrewd move by the Bills to bring back a guy whose body was fresh, who understood the defense, who still could play, get him back up to speed, and he's got a helmet on in case we need him. He's going to play in some packages.
Let's go.
And the speculation is, and again, take all this with a grain of salt,
he's got some serious dirt on McDermott.
So apparently, this is a fact, they did not give him a physical. They just signed him.
Oh.
Anticipating.
So there's precedent for us to join the Bills, Ross.
He was good. Yeah, no, they looked at you. No, thanks.
No physical needed.
And they should have given him a physical because he wasn't even close to ready to go. Like, he came in 30 pounds, like a significant amount lighter than he was when the season ended last year.
Okay.
Like, he wasn't in game shape.
Gotcha.
And, like, at that point, it was like, oh, he's already here, so just give him a helmet.
The Bills have released Micah Hyde.
Like, you convince him to fly all the way cross country, and then it's like, oh, no.
So you're saying Isaiah McKenzie actually had a point?
Yes, I think he did. No, I guess, no, the point I'm making is he was retired before he even got here.
Sure.
You know
sure.
what I mean? Yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, having that mind in the backfield, especially with Cole Bishop, because he made strides.
Yeah.
He made strides while he was here.
Not in the way of intercepting. Well, actually, no, he did pick off that ball.
He did pick off that ball. He at minimum knocked it down, but
we didn't even touch on that one.
Yeah, because again, why are you going to get angry about things you can't change?
Sure.
But no, I mean, he was already retired. It was over.
Yeah.
There's no, what are you going to do? And with the injuries he's had, I don't want to see him come back and play another season.
For sure, especially with it being above the shoulders, those injuries. So yeah, I'm with you there. And I'm happy for him. I'm thankful for everything he did for the franchise over the last, 8 years. But nevertheless, it is still a bit sad to see the book closing. But you look back on the memories. It was about the journey about the friends we made along the
way. Second time you said that.
Well, it's true.
So you had said something interesting to me today.
All the time.
Because the NFL now is a 365-day-a-year business.
24-C.
The second that the Super Bowl is over, you will have talking heads, like literally second, talking heads that will give you the odds for who is the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year.
They already have that stupid, like, illustrated graphic of, like, all the top, like, every team's top players looking up at the Lombardi being like, 2025 season starts right now.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Starts right now!
I read an article today about the free agent. The Bills have this year and the cap situation that they're in, right? Yeah. Anticipating next year.
Everyone has to justify their jobs during the offseason, like me. Which reminds me, I'm going to be doing solo podcasts until the offseason stops.
But you said you do something at the end of every Bills season?
Yeah. Yep.
What is it?
So, you know, I had mentioned to you, I think it's something I want to make known because I think a lot of people could benefit from this. You know, the whole end of season, call it a cleanse, call it a purge, call it just a mental reckoning. You know, we went through a lot going through this season, through every season, and arguably we had to go through it longer because we got further than we have in the last 4 years. There's a lot going on. A lot of highs, a lot
of
lows.
Yeah, I got it.
Roller coaster, some would say.
Shut up, word so economy.
I think it's just important for when something is done, like this bill season, when it's over, I need to separate myself a little bit. Now, granted, I kind of was helped out a little bit with the way that the season ended because I didn't want to consume any kind of media with respect to that game or the game that's coming up this coming weekend. But I find it healthy to take a seat, think back on the fun, enjoyable parts of the season, compartmentalize those things, and kind of step away from football.
You call it a football detox.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it.
All right, so you go how long without consuming any football stuff?
Well, I mean, we didn't do a show last week. I would say a solid at least 72 hours.
That's upwards, not of a detox. Upwards of a week.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I thought you were going to tell
me. In a P test, it's not going
to
show up.
I thought you were going to tell me you went like 2 months without
2
it.
2 months, please.
No, I'm serious.
No. I'm doing a show with you 9, 10 days removed.
I thought you meant when the Super Bowl was over, you were going to step away from all football stuff for like a month.
No, I step away from all things. Like, I'm not joking, dude. All things football. I want nothing to do with football for a minimum of cumulative 72 hours upwards of a week.
That's not a detox.
That's 100% a detox.
That's just being bitter about how the season ended.
It's not. Well, I guess partly, yes.
No, it's all it is. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
What are you talking about?
Ryan, if you sat here and told me, like, when the Super Bowl is over, I am going to get rid of the apps on my phone. I'm not going to look at any free agency stuff. I'm not going to look at any draft stuff because that doesn't matter until March anyway. And I'm going to let my mind get clear again. I would go, wow, I thought that's what you're going to tell me. And I thought that would be like, that's actually not a bad idea. It's a healthier way to be.
Okay.
A week is nothing.
A week is a lot of time.
No, especially with the 2 weeks between the Super Bowl because you don't even miss anything about the game.
I didn't watch the Pro Bowl.
Wow. Neither did I, actually.
Yeah, who does? It's so dumb. Stupid, right? Like, why are we doing this?
Well, because
he got elected to a Pro Bowl, so that means he has a higher bargaining chip for a contract. Well, no, what?
There are bonuses built in, and still, like, the NFL can make money on it, so they're going to go do it.
Fair, I guess, but it's not a reflection of prowess in a season. I guess in some way it is, but like, it's not.
You're
really
arguing with yourself right now.
You're arguing with yourself. Okay. No, I'm not. You are.
All right.
I think it's like, I guess I kind of go through, you know, the stages of grief at the end of a season.
Okay, really. That's fine. And every Bills fan does that.
Okay. So what's wrong if I have now made my grief cycle way more efficient and getting through it in 5 days, like, what's the big deal about that?
I
mean,
I guess there is no big deal. I was taken aback by the idea of unplugging and not consuming any football media for a month. And I guess the idea being, one, your mental health is going to be a heck of a lot better because you're not, you know, focusing on the bad that happened. And two, it would make, you know, getting back into it all that much more exciting because you would have all of this new stuff to read. You know what I mean?
Absence like, makes the heart grow fun.
Yeah, babe walking through the woods wide-eyed. But it would be impossible. Impossible. Yeah, I mean,
for 2 months? Oh, I agree with you
I think
there.
A month would be impossible.
Yeah,
I think
an extended period of time would be very difficult the way that people like yourself and I consume NFL football.
Oh, I don't even think it's that. I think that the league has so many things going on all the time. There are so many stories that are moving that if you were to unplug for a month, even between the end of the Super Bowl and the first week of March, you would miss so many things happening.
Yeah, maybe. But like,
I mean, look, Myles Garrett, Cooper Kupp, and Max Crosby could all have deals agreed to in trades in that month, and you wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't know anything about it.
But this actually brings up a pretty cool point. You know that, what would you rather have? To be in the know all the time, cutting edge of the, you know,
like NFL, an NFL news insider?
Cycle? Yeah. Or how fun would it be where you have completed your darkness retreat and you turn on your phone, let's say a week before the draft, sometime in April, and you get to now catch up on everything that has happened that's like really kind of meaningless to some. Most of it, if you're consuming it on an hourly basis, it's kind of meaningless. But but by the time you go from the end of the Super Bowl or whenever your team's out of it until a week before the draft, now you got like everything that was going to stick is sticking and is still a point that you can catch up on. It's like that fake commercial on SNL when he goes to sleep to like sleep through a cold and wakes up and gets to be get brought up to speed on everything for the last year.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think I would like that. Although it is funny. No, because part of the fun of being a sports fan, no matter what league you follow, is the debate and the should we do this, should we do that, and, you know, the excitement of the potential opportunity of adding a draft pick or a free agency to the team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You would miss all of that. The shock of something like Stephon Diggs being traded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, living through that while talking through that with all these other people.
But those things are still happening when you catch up on them.
Yeah, but
you're just getting it just free-based right into your veins at that point.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, could you imagine in like July of last year going up to somebody and being like, can you believe they traded Stephon Diggs?
Oh, okay, whatever. Like, but like
if shut up, old man.
It's not as if like you went back to 1955.
But here's the thing.
Tearing pages out of the phone book and not getting yelled at by Lou.
It would.
Like, I don't understand that. He was watching him tear the paper out of the book. And like, he's like, no problem.
I had a great point to make and I'm not even going to make it because that was the stupidest thing.
I'm just saying it always bothered me.
No. I couldn't, not only could I not do it, I think it would be not as fun. I think it is more fun being plugged in, as stressful and roller coastery as it is all the time.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think I could get down to that. But I would also fear, though, that I would like it. No, I would never do it. But I would fear that like people would take it to its like most insane conclusion, to where like they skip the season altogether and then just watch a highlight, like an NFL Films 2020 whatever recap. Well,
you know what? That's an interesting idea, because I think if you gave Bills fans the option, with the way that the expectations for this team now, if you could press a button and go right to the playoffs,
just sim the whole season,
they would take it. Because I mean, that's all that matters now. Unless something terrible happens during the season, the only thing that matters is how you're going to perform in the playoffs. I'm not one of those people, because I enjoy watching every moment of every game, but I think way more Bills fans than you want to believe would say, hit the button, get me to the wild card, the divisional, the AFC championship, the Super Bowl.
Okay, if those people who think that, mm-hmm. I just want to give you a quick point.
Okay.
When I was younger, I used to love rewatching Little Miss Sunshine because it would make me feel so good at the end, because it's so uplifting.
When that guy died of heroin and a heroin overdose?
No.
Yeah, that happened.
It happens at like before the second act.
Spoiler alert, Grandpa's dead of heroin.
And he's in the trunk. No, like I would watch that movie because it's so feel good at the end. So much, in fact, that I thought I'm not going to waste my time watching the rest of this movie. I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to fast forward to the end. And I remember being so excited to just watch the uplifting part at the end, and it does not feel the same.
Okay.
You need to go through the experience in order to, this isn't like groundbreaking insight here.
Uh-huh.
You need to go through it, whatever it is, to appreciate the end result.
So you just argued against the take you had a second ago.
As far as the whole season is concerned. No. What my point?
No.
I think that my point holds even more weight because the off-season stuff doesn't matter.
It does.
We get caught up in all of the, like, it doesn't matter in the moment. Of course, there are things that are going to matter and that are going to have larger implications. But imagine how great it would be to just, for a month, 2 months, whatever, go spend time with your family. Go play ping pong. Go play at the bingo hall. Go see a movie. Go for a walk.
No, but you can
do your fun hobby things.
The argument you're making right now can also be made for the regular season, because let's go back to week 5.
Okay.
Right? The Bills, week 6. Right? The Bills were 3-2.
Yep.
They were coming off of 2 straight losses. They're going into a primetime game against the Jets. The winner of this game is number 1 in the AFC East. At that time, that game meant everything.
Sure.
And it's funny to look back on it now to see how little that game meant in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So if your argument is, you know, in the offseason, it doesn't really matter, and you get caught up on all these things that aren't actually important, you can make the same argument as for the ebbs and flows of an NFL season, because in that moment, it didn't really matter. That game was not going to be significant.
But that is not an apt comparison.
They're
two completely different things.
I disagree.
You're disagreeing just because you want to disagree.
I made a legitimate point. Like, I love how you think.
I made a legitimate point, and you're taking it to an extreme conclusion.
I'm using your argument that you just made.
In an extreme way, to where it's not the same.
It's so funny to me that you think your points are so brilliant that if anyone disagrees with you, that they're just disagree to disagree.
That's not the case at all.
That's exactly what you just said. Well, I'm so brilliant that if you disagree, it's not because you have a point. It's because you just want to disagree.
First of all, I am brilliant. Second of all, yeah. I know you enough to know that I could make the most valid point in the world, and you'd be like, hey, here's why you're dumb and stupid.
When you make a valid point, I'll agree with you.
Please.
Hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Whatever you say.
You know, it is funny, though, to think about. You know, we are just bombarded all the time between social media, you know, 24-hour sports news, people around us.
Information superhighway.
Yeah, just nonstop. Like, it wasn't that long ago where a deal could get done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and you would not know about it until the next day when you picked up the newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's mind-blowing when you think about it. Like, if something were to happen, a groundbreaking NFL story at 1 o'clock, and you found out about it at 7 in the evening,
yeah.
you would feel so out of the loop.
You are so far removed. Why do you even have a phone?
Exactly. But
you're such a loser.
But, like, I mean, there was a point where, you know, the Bills traded for Cornelius Bennett in the middle of a day.
Remember?
And Bills fans didn't find out until they picked up the USA Today.
Until they read the morning paper.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, some would say.
Okay.
Some would, not me. I think it's awesome.
Here's a blessing. Show's almost done.
Yay!
All right, we're going to wrap up this whole thing.
Okay.
I...
Was it about the friends we made along the way? Was it? It was, wasn't it?
I'm going to come back and just finish this up so I can get him out of my house, and we'll do it next. Let's go Duffalo.
Who are you talking to?
Everybody that is also annoyed. Odyssey up, I reach a podcast. Okay, you got it. Going to do it for the 2024 season in 2025 edition of Let's Go Duffalo. So I know we appreciate all you guys who listen. We love you very, very much.
We do.
I am very surprised by the passion that you guys have for this podcast.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me, it sucks.
Yeah. It's low on my list.
Sucks so long and so hard. You were just looking something up. What were you looking up?
What?
You said you wanted to get something right. You wanted to say, I made sure I want to get this right. What are you looking up?
Oh, my thank you in that I wrote down on my notes app. Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, one, to the Podcast Academy, two, to Odyssey. Let's give it up for our corporate.
No, don't be that. Don't be a corporate shill.
No, let's give it up for them. Because they're the ones who get the real magic.
They don't even know you work for them.
No, they don't.
They don't. That's the best part. They don't. Like, you continue to bill them for your hourly minimum wage that you make to do this show, and they would not even.
The federal minimum wage on top of
that. What is the Podcast Academy?
Like the Academy of like Arts and Science, you know,
okay.
Like the Oscars. That was a joke. No, I was going to say, you know, if you want to follow along with us in the off season, you know, everyone knows the normal get up. You can find us on Instagram and on TikTok
for now,
at least, but until for the foreseeable future, you can find us on there at let's go Duffalo.
You literally tripped over the finish line.
But I will say also, for those of you looking for some additional potential off-season content,
what are you doing?
Why don't you go over to YouTube and follow us on there too? Let's Go Duffalo. No dots, no apostrophe. LetsGoDuffalo.
What are you putting on YouTube?
I'm not sure yet, but a little something to.
That's a way to sell it.
What? I mean, hey, if you are. Shush. Shush.
Come check out YouTube. What's over there? I don't know. I haven't decided.
We're going to find out together is what we're going
to
do.
Go to my restaurant. What kind of food you got? I don't know. When you get here, we'll figure it out.
So what? Every diner ever?
You know what's in a diner, idiot. You want a ham sandwich or ramen? Whatever you want. Whatever you're into.
Yeah, I could get that at like every diner.
You can't get ramen at a diner.
Oh, yeah?
Where?
I'm sure there are plenty of places.
Asian diner. I've never seen an Asian diner.
No, I think you could probably find a
where?
Good...
Name me a... Bro.
I'm sure you could.
Rochester, New York, the greater Rochester area is Dinertown, USA. Name me a
Dinertown, USA, there's, Guy Fieri's been here zero times.
There's 50 diners in every town. Name me one Asian diner.
Well, not an Asian diner. You're saying a diner where I could get ramen.
Yes.
Noodle soup. I think I could find that.
No, and chicken noodle soup is not ramen.
I'm actually going to delegate, as a good manager, I'm going to delegate this down to the listening base. If you guys have a good...
If you've seen an Asian diner...
If you know where Ryan in the off season and upload the travel video to our YouTube at Let's Go Duffalo, I will make a video on all of the ramen spots that I can... All the diners that I can get ramen at. And I'll do it.
And it's done.
But yeah, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, at let's.go.duffalo, as well as now on YouTube at Let's Go Duffalo. It's been fun, Pat.
Is your phone going off right now?
Yeah, it is.
You are so...
Whoopsie doodle.
We're literally in the last segment of the season.
You heard it. I didn't hear it.
I know. I took my headphone off because I thought I was feeding back through my board here.
Literally my board.
Okay.
Yeah, is it spelled B-O-R-E-D? Dummy. What were you saying about people enjoying the show?
You know, you do bring up, and you're ruining the microphone again. God, you're on fire in the last segment.
I wish I was
literally
on fire.
Say yeah, but you would burn literally forever. You're the world's largest human candle. When I the hotel I was at in Kansas City, it's so funny you bring up the breakfast ramen.
Yeah.
It was like a Hampton Inn, but I think it was owned by an Asian family.
Okay.
So I come down to get breakfast on Sunday morning, and they've got all the standards.
Yeah.
And ramen.
Sure.
I've never seen ramen for breakfast.
Dude, go to a... Oh, man, I shouldn't say...
Go to where?
I've never been to one. Asian. I was going to say a Japanese, like, 7-Eleven. They got to-go ramen there all day
long. No, I meant, like, it was specifically breakfast ramen.
Interesting. Like an egg?
Well, there's egg in ramen anyway.
Right, I was going to say, read a book.
No, I'm saying it's like, it was... Who eats ramen at 7 o'clock in the morning?
I'm sure there are people. I would.
Okay.
Sodium be damned.
I'm looking at you.
Sodium is not
damned. I was going to say, you're like Mr. Sodium. All right, so...
That was my wrestling name.
You're chasing now.
No, I'm not.
You're chasing.
I'm trying to suck I'm trying to suck everything I can out of this season.
What are you? Do you have like 45 more seconds before you get to bill him for another hour?
I mean, maybe.
All right. So just a heads up. We are going to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah, we're going to do our cleanse.
We're going to come back. We'll be talking free agency. We'll be talking NFL draft. I'm, you know, like we just said, it's a nonstop thing. So we'll have plenty to talk about. But I need some time away from Ryan. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh.
And based on how this final segment of the season has gone, you understand.
Coming from the guy who keeps begging me to come to a Super Bowl party.
Are you not going to come? Are you not going to come to my house and watch me in the basement?
It is weird that every year I have a Super Bowl party that you're aware of, and then you're having your own Super Bowl party.
Something came up.
Which I was not invited to.
Something suddenly came up. Maybe you shouldn't have spent the last 20 years making fun of everyone I've ever connected with outside of you.
All of your friends suck.
See?
All your friends
See, you're doing it again. You don't
They're
even hear
all
it.
All the worst
You're doing it right
ever.
Now. You don't even hear it.
And if I see you, I'm just joking.
Sure.
Good to see you. For Matt, sure. You're awesome.
Matt is awesome.
All right. We will see you when we see you. Keep your head up, everybody.
Whee!
It's going to be okay. Go check out our YouTube page right now that has nothing on it.
No, it has some of our shorts on there from things from TikTok.
I'm surprised that your shorts fit on YouTube.
Please. I wear bird dogs. They stretch right to my thighs.
No, I saw that time you got drunk and peed all over when we were in Toronto.
That was during the test drive phase of those. I've worked out a good system now.
My name's Pat Duffy. His name is Piss Pants.
Bye, everybody.
We'll see you in a couple weeks. And before we go, one more time.
Go, Bills!